All right, welcome back. All right, I also get the privilege of announcing our speaker for today. And some of you may know him as the father of five kids. Some of you may know him as the youth pastor. Some of you may know him as the husband of the wonderful worship leader. But you probably all know him as the drummer. So please welcome Andy Troutman.
Am I on, Brian? I've turned on, so I don't know. Welcome back, Joe. I'm supposed to have Lisa come up and share her... Alyssa! I thought you said Lisa. Okay, Alyssa, do you want to come up and share your testimony? I got to get a microphone for you. Let's use this one. All right, here you go, Alyssa. Just say what is first in your heart and what went on in your doctor's appointment and stuff, the good things.
So this past week I had an MRI checking if anything was going on, and everything was great. I had Jesus in my heart while I was in there, and good thing that everything was well. So the last one I had, my brain tumor was stable, but there was a cyst connected to it, and they're just making sure nothing was going on in the spine, and then everything was good, so.
Yeah. You have anything else? Okay, put this down so you can step over. Praise Jesus. Amen. Alyssa's been coming to youth group for a while now, and she's precious. We really enjoy having her there, and so I'm thankful for her good report. She's going back to the doctor for a few more just checkups, and so we're looking forward to hearing another one. All right, before we get started, I'd like to, Sam, I talked to Sam this morning, he's not feeling super good, so I'd like to have him come up and just sit on the platform, and if the elders could come forward, we can pray for him, anoint him. If there's anybody else who feels like they need some prayer too, go ahead and come up. We don't want to exclude anybody, but Sam was just, I could see on his face, he just needed some prayer this morning. Father God, we just thank you for Sam, for his heart. We thank you for his willingness to be here even when he's not feeling well, Lord. We know that he came wanting healing, Lord. He's been fighting different things off and on for a long time. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would just fall upon him, that the Holy Spirit would fall upon him, and that he would have healing today, Lord. And we just look forward to, like Alyssa, that he would have a good report. We pray even now that he starts to feel well, that he has whatever's going on, that it's released in his body, Lord. We pray for just the emptiness that he has with Staten being gone, Lord. We just pray that you would just fill that with you, Lord. We just thank you and praise you for Sam. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, so my wife said that people must have been fighting for a spot in the nursery to be helping in the nursery because I was speaking today. So I don't know what that means. So now she says it sounds bad, but it sounded bad when she first said it. So, also, I need to let you know that if you have a lunch reservation, you might want to bump that up about a half an hour. What you would say, not long-winded, unless you get me talking. But the Holy Spirit, I get nervous, and then once the Holy Spirit falls on me, then I'm able to be released. So I need, kind of want to split the room in half. I want this half to be just praying the Holy Spirit comes for me, and the other half just sit there and do this. Okay? And if you're in the middle and you don't know, do both, okay? Yeah. All right. So I appreciate James, Pastor James, allowing me to speak once again. I told him, and I've told the pastors previous to him, that if they ever want me to speak, just ask, and I'll do it. I always want to be available, even though I get nervous, but I know that the Holy Spirit will speak through me. I try to get out of the way as much as I can and let the Holy Spirit come. So I hope and pray that he comes today. Otherwise, I will be saying apparently a lot. And I also want to give a special thanks to Jeremy, wherever Jeremy is. He let me know that my fly was down. So that could have been a little embarrassing. It happens, right? I'm not kidding either. Jeremy, thank you for letting me know my fly was down earlier. It was much appreciated. Okay. Would have been wondering why you guys had your guys' attention so much. Okay. So a little bit about me. Some of you don't know me. A lot of you do. I was saved in this church back around 1992. My buddy Tony, Pastor Frank's son, brought me here. I joined kind of a Youth for Christ. I don't know if you guys have heard of Youth for Christ, but I joined some friends there. I joined because of a girl. I did. And that was the whole reason. God got a hold of me. He said, no, I've got other plans for you. And so one day, the leader of that, of Youth for Christ, he led me in the sinner's prayer. And so since then, I've been a Christian. Now, there's been times when my walk wasn't good. There's been times when it's been really good. But I'm just thankful for the fact that I made that decision. You know, it's not like it's easy once you become a Christian, but I'm just thankful for it. So I've been at Dayspring for about 24 years. A lot of people say, wow, you've been here a long time. Well, where else would I be? You know, this is my church. This is my home. You know, I walk in here and I kind of feel like I own the place. So this is my home. I have family here. If I went somewhere else, it would be awkward. I think I wouldn't have you guys. I wouldn't have family. There's a lot of people that I've known as long as I've been here. Joe Martinez was one of the first people to greet me, so I'm thankful for him, just for his being friendly at that time and making me feel welcome. Because there's some churches you walk into and nobody even says anything to you. So I'm just thankful for this church. Thankful for all the pastors that have been here. And taught me things, and I'm very thankful for Pastor James, because even though he's only, 31, he has an old spirit, and knowing what's speaking, what's all involved in speaking, and making sure that the Holy Spirit speaks through you, I know that he does a good job, and he gets out of the way, and he lets the Holy Spirit speak. So I've been a youth pastor. I've been involved with youth for about 21 years. And then I've been a youth pastor for the last 10. And I've been married for 17 plus. I have 5 wonderful adopted children, 1 leaving the nest this year, heading to college. So that's all about me in a nutshell. I have a little video to play. There doesn't have to be a whole lot of audio. It's mostly just the video. To play. The good thing is it doesn't need a lot of video, so we won't have that, or audio, so we don't need a lot of... So you guys know, that is 463 kilograms, which is 1,020 pounds. Yeah.
The beast!
stand and watch him yell. So that's Eddie Hall. He is the UK's World's Strongest Man. He competes in the World's Strongest Man competitions also. He's actually the first man to deadlift 500 kilograms, which is 1,120 pounds. He is 28 years old. He weighs, believe it or not, 400 pounds, and he's 6'3". So I show you that not because I want you to be impressed by him or anything. I don't know if he's a Christian or not. I did kind of look just to see if I could find anything, but I didn't find anything. But the thing about him is I don't want to necessarily be outwardly like him, but I want his outward strength to be my inward strength. Okay? I want to be like the Hulk on the inside. Can you imagine what you could do to Satan and his minions with just having that presence inside, with, you know, the presence of God that strong inside of you? Be pretty intense, wouldn't it? And so I think it's just awesome to me. And I think that what I want to do is be able to talk to you today about being spiritually strong, okay, and how we can get there. So putting together a sermon is a little bit difficult. I don't know if some of you guys, I know that some of you guys have spoken in this church before, and so you sit down and you're trying to figure out, well, what am I supposed to speak on? And being busy like all of you guys are, it's sometimes hard when you sit down, you open up the Bible and you start looking and trying to figure out, okay, so what has not been preached on? What am I not going to, you know, it's like beating the dead horse, keep saying the same things over and over again. And so you want to try to preach something that's new and fresh or just relevant to what's going on and that kind of thing. And so I sat down and I was looking at various topics I was working on and it just didn't seem right. I didn't know why either. And so I sat down and I was talking to my wife, and she could see the sheer panic in my eyes. And I said, I don't know, hon. I've got this stuff, but it just doesn't feel right. And she reminded me of one simple fact. Well, did you ask the Holy Spirit? Oh, yeah. So I literally went into the closet, turned the lights off, because, you know, my being a drummer and being involved in knife making and that kind of thing, I like to watch videos on how to get better at that and listen to music and all sorts of stuff. So I have a lot of stuff going on, but I don't have that still quiet voice, that time for that still quiet voice, just because I don't allow for it. And so when I allowed for it, I was able to hear. And partially, the Holy Spirit was able to speak through Cindy to me, which I'm very thankful for her. And she's able to do that quite a bit. Sometimes she wakes me up. So today's sermon, like I said, is about how to be spiritually strong. And so I exercise. I work out five days a week, Monday through Friday. I get up at 4 in the morning, and I try to be at the gym at 4:30. Most people think that I'm crazy because I do that, but that's the only time I have to do that. You know, any other time I'd be taken away from family time, so that's what I do. And I do that too, so I can feel good. And now it's gotten to the point, I've been doing it for about 15 years, now it's to the point if I sleep in, I don't feel good. I feel sluggish. My body needs that workout to feel good. And I started thinking, you know, my wife kind of helped me think of this, but I started thinking, well, if I were to have put the last 15 years, it's about 2 hours a day, Monday through Friday, the last 15 years also into God, would I look like that guy on the inside? Would I feel, because I'm never going to look like him. I'm built like my mom. I've just put a little bit of weight on. When I started working out, it was 156 pounds. I'm 206 now, so that's how much weight I've gained since when I started working out. So I was a pencil. I still kind of am a pencil. But I kind of wonder where God would have used me if I would have dedicated that time to him, or at least that amount of time to him each day. And so what I want to do is encourage you, and through that encouragement I mean myself, to take time, intentional time, to spiritually get spiritually strong. Okay? And so for some of the reasons why I started exercising is because I felt skinny and weak. I had three brother-in-laws, which I consider my brothers, and they would be able to knock me around. We'd have like these, it was kind of funny, we'd get together and we'd have like these feats of strength, and I'd end up being the guy that they'd kind of push around, and so I was like, so now I can hold my own. But like I said, I needed to figure out something else. You know, when there's those moments when you want to talk to somebody about the Lord, or you have a Bible verse that's in the back of your head but you just can't remember what exactly it says or where it's located, it's a little frustrating. And I don't want to have that anymore. I want to be like those guys that have all of the verses and can say, oh yeah, right here, let's open up and read this. And I want to be that guy, and I hope that you guys would want to be that guy too. Or girl. Okay. Let's see here. Bible. Let's get our Bibles. So the first thing, of course, is read and study your Bible, right? Okay. But what I want you guys to think about, and that's kind of like the exercising, that's part, kind of like the lifting part of it. I want you guys to think about being intentional when you read the Bible. Sometimes we get stuck on like the soap readings, or you get a email that says, you know, read this Bible verse, that kind of thing. It just becomes routine. One thing I've noticed when I dig into the Bible and you start understanding who wrote it, when it was written, what was going on when it was written, the culture, maybe what the area was like. You start to understand things that you didn't understand when you first read it. Maybe you've heard it used, maybe this Bible verse you're reading, you've heard it used in a different context, but once you read why it was written, it's even different, more different than what you've heard it before. And so what I want you guys to do is be able to dig deep. And it's not about necessarily the amount that you read, it's more how you read it and the quality of reading. So if you want to get a good workout, you got to work hard to get that workout. You can't just goof around, okay? And so what I want you guys to do is to dig into that and make it interesting. Sometimes when you're just skipping through that, like if you're in Romans and it talks about, I do what I want to do but not what I want to do, and all, you know, it's like, I don't understand what he's saying. And so when you dig into it, you start understanding, well, first of all, Paul wrote Romans, and who was Paul? Paul was Saul, and it's amazing the fact that Saul became Paul, and then Paul wrote Romans, right? And you start understanding that this guy went through a lot of stuff, and he has some pretty good credentials for writing what he's writing, okay? And so I want to encourage you guys to dig deep, to be intentional in all that you do, especially when it comes to the Lord. One thing before I go too much further, I want to let you know that this is just kind of an outline, but the most important part of this whole thing is having your personal relationship with Jesus. Because there's no specific code, there's no pattern. As far as Christianity goes, it's all about Jesus, and it's all about having that relationship and knowing who he is, praying and reading the Bible. Praying, you're able to speak with him, but reading the Bible, you get to know him. But really, it's that relationship and spending that time. Sometimes it's just being quiet and listening. So the next thing after reading your Bible intentionally and studying would be praying. So a consistent daily prayer. If we turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Very short. It just says pray continually. And so praying continually to me means that as you go through your day, you're just in prayer. That no matter what you come up against, no matter what you're dealing with, you're always in that kind of that mindset of prayer. I've done that, and it makes my day go by a lot better than the days that I don't. Sometimes I'll have span of weeks or it could be months where my prayer life consists of asking for things or asking for healing for people, but it's not that the prayer life where I'm having that relationship, where it's a back and forth communication between me and the Lord. And that's what the relationship's about. It's not about me asking for things all the time. So I would just encourage you to pray continually or work toward that. Colossians 4:2. It says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. So really that explains it all. You know, we need to devote ourselves to that. I mean, if you have a daily prayer life, that's great, and I'm proud of you, but some of us don't. And it's just a matter of taking the time to be with the Lord and praying and remembering people. I have a friend at work who, I won't go into a lot of it, but he has several family members that are very sick, and he has back problems, and he's dealing with a lot right now. And so I've been praying for him quite a bit and trying to figure out a way, because he doesn't know the Lord, and I've been trying to figure out a way to be able to talk to him a little bit more freely about that. He's pretty closed. He's pretty quiet. But we've managed to kind of strike up a friendship over the years. I've worked with him for quite a few years now. And I appreciate his sense of humor and just who he is. And so I'm able to, you know, it's more of that relationship, getting that personal relationship and getting to know someone. And there's that old saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And so it's a matter of getting to know people. And so I say all that saying that I've been praying for him. And whether it be that he comes to know the Lord or that he is able to deal with the things that he's going through, or he has a healing in his body, or the people in his family have healings that he's helping to deal with. I mean, he has a lot going on, and it's for me emotionally, I feel for him quite a bit. And so I want my prayer life to be one that I can get things done. I want to be able to pray, and I want to be able to see, you know, people like Alyssa or people like Sam get healed. I want strength in my words. I don't want to just be double-minded. I don't want to be any of that stuff. I want strength in what I can, in my prayers, because I have that relationship with Jesus and God that I know, because of my faith and because of my relationship with him, that I can get things done through prayer. So the prayer is kind of like cardio, okay? This is what helps you get through the day. And then the third thing would be fellowship with other believers. So if we go to Hebrews 10, Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Okay. I have a friend, some of you guys know him, Jamie Osborne. He's kind of what you would consider my workout partner, but he's probably my closest friend, my best friend, and we have spent a lot of years kind of sharpening each other. You know, that whole iron sharpens iron. we spend a lot of time, you know, we'll have weeks where we'll bring a topic, you know, what do you think about this? And we'll talk about it as far as maybe what the Holy Spirit's saying to each other, you know, ourselves or whatever, and we'll work through it, and it's kind of fun having that topic, and maybe it's something that's gone on during the week, whether it be one of those unfortunate shootings that's happened, or gun control, or whatever it is, or maybe just something that we've been dealing with in our own lives, and we kind of talk it through. We're able to pray for each other. We're able to be honest, you know, if there's something that we're dealing with that is maybe something that has to do with sin or whatever, then we can pray for each other, and also we have we're close enough that we can tell each other to knock it off, and sometimes you need that. So fellowship with other believers is very important. I appreciate coming here to church. I don't do it maybe as much as I should, but as far as during greeting time, greeting those who are new in the church. But it's good to greet people and to talk to people that haven't maybe been coming for a while. It's always that embarrassing moment when you say, "Oh, so is this your first time here?" And they say, "No, I've been here for 4 months." That's always an embarrassing moment. But as long as we can show love, kind of like Joe showed me my very first day, then they have more, they feel more welcome to come back. And they also have a connection, at least with one person, if you're the only person that said hi to them and greeted them. And so make sure that you're friendly to those who are new to the faith. And then the fourth thing would be share your faith with others. That's the kind of the most important thing, because we don't want to put ourselves, hide ourselves in a cave, or like the Bible says, you know, be the light and put it underneath a bowl. We want to shine, right? We want to be the salt that flavors things. We want to be able to share Jesus with others. And sometimes that's hard. I mean, how many of you were able to share Jesus just in the last week with somebody? That's good. I want to see more hands next time, right? And so that's my goal is with my friend at work, to be able to do that. And like I said, it's a matter of showing how much you care before you speak to them about Jesus, because maybe they don't know the love of the Father, and sometimes that's a little scary. They don't understand maybe how to turn their lives over to something they don't see or feel. And so it's a matter of, I have another friend, close friend, that he wants nothing to do with church. But I still love him. I don't love him any different. And one day I pray that that God will speak to him, because it's not my job to convert him or to make him become a Christian. My job is just to love on him and to show him the love of God, and then let God do the rest, right? And so sometimes it seems like we work a little bit too hard. We get to the point where we're almost pushing people toward Jesus instead of allowing Jesus to do his work. So along with sharing faith with others, let's go to 2 Timothy. We're going to start at chapter 3, and we're going to go 12 through 17, and then chapter 4, 1 through 5. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in the view of his approaching and his kingdom, I give you this charge: preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. So go and preach the gospel. Sometimes we feel like maybe we're too old, or maybe we're too young, or maybe we don't know enough. I remember the time that I went to Uganda with Pastor Frank. We got off the plane, and it was, you know, like a complete different world. And we met up with, it's Pastor Drake, right? We met up with him. And once Frank mentioned that I was a youth pastor, I was a pastor. And now I'm preaching sometime. I showed up in Uganda just wanting to hang out with the orphans, but now I'm preaching. And so there was a moment where I was asked to preach, and I was pretty nervous. But compared to what the teachings that they've had, I knew a lot. And so the Holy Spirit was able to speak through me at that time too. And so it's a matter of having that relationship with Christ, so at any moment you could speak to somebody. And it's not a matter of having the Roman road. I don't know if you guys know, there's a little card that's, you know, teaches you how to kind of lead someone to Christ. But it's not even a matter of that. It's a matter of just your life and explaining that without God, you know, they're sinning every day. With God, they can die to sin, be alive in Christ. And I just, you know, it's just leading them to Christ. And once they know Christ, then their life is changed forever. And then, once you're done sharing your faith, the last thing is to kind of test almost daily your walk. And the way to do that would be, if we go to Galatians 5, Galatians 5:22-23. You guys will recognize this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So a good way to test your walk is to look at those things and see what fruits of the Spirit that you have. I may struggle in life and in my walk at times. But I always, you know, I'm never afraid to be corrected. I'm never afraid to make changes in my life. Sometimes it's daily. And so I always want to get closer to Jesus and not further away. I read things like in Revelations where it talks about being lukewarm and being spit out of God's mouth. I never want to become lukewarm. But there's times when you could become that way, because you're not, you're just don't have that relationship that God wants with you. And so I look at the fruits of the Spirit just to see, where am I at? Do I have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? And if I don't, why is that? Where am I failing? Where do I need to let God work in my life? And so today, I would encourage you guys to spend some time with the Lord, and maybe even think deeply on the fruits of the Spirit and where you're at. You're never too young. You're never too old. I've heard people say, well, I'm too old. I'm just kind of waiting to pass on. But there is someone out there that needs your words. Because if God gives us an opportunity and we miss it, we better pray that somebody else gets that opportunity, because if they don't, then that person may not have the opportunity. You know, there's those moments where we pass by someone on the side of the road, maybe with a sign, and we look at them and we think, well, what are they going to do with the money? Or oh, somebody else will give them money or something else. But it's sometimes, if it's not you, it's nobody. And so I listen to the Holy Spirit when I have those moments to make sure that if it's supposed to be me, it's going to be me. And so I would encourage you guys in those moments, especially when it's extremely hot or extremely cold, because when you don't have a place to sleep, you don't have a place to put your head, it's very difficult when it's extremely hot and extremely cold. And sometimes they just want to be loved. Okay? So like I said, wow, I actually went to noon today. Wow. I'm very thankful for James allowing me to preach, and I'm very thankful that the Holy Spirit came and was with me today. I don't like to go on beyond what the Holy Spirit has me speak, because then I'm just babbling on and it's not anointed anymore. So I feel like he's presented what he wants to speak to you today. And I'm just thankful for you guys being my family. I'm thankful for this church, and you know, we've had some long roads here, but I think it's made us a very strong church. And I look forward to where James has to lead us, and I'm ready to follow. When we first brought James in, I told him, I said, I'm with you, Pastor. So wherever he wants to go, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to fight for him if I need to. So I pray that you guys would give him the same support, and if you're not already. Also, Awanas. It's amazing what you learn in Awanas. You're not just teaching, but you're also learning. It's fun to deal with the kids and teach them, but they also teach you things. And you also learn a lot about the books of the Bible, because if you don't know where something is, you will by the time you're done, because they have to recite the books of the Bible to you quite a bit. And so it's actually helped me, you know, especially in some of the very small books where you're like, where was that? Oh, yeah. You start going through it in your mind. So I would encourage you, as we get closer to Awana's time, that if you haven't helped, that you do. And it's not because we need workers or helpers, because we do, but it's because there's a kid there who needs you. Because a lot of those kids, that's the only church or God that they get. And it's pretty fun. There's some days when you're like, wow, this is overwhelming, because you've got three kids bouncing all over chairs and pews and stuff. But they still, that's all they get is what you're able to present them. And I don't take that lightly. I appreciate the time that I get to spend with them. And so I would encourage you guys to maybe think about that, doing that. And not only that, but maybe helping back in even the nursery, where apparently a lot of people are today. I just thank you for this time. I thank you for James allowing me to speak. And I pray that you guys got something out of it. I know that the struggle I had trying to get it, and then the Holy Spirit coming and speaking to me, he's helped me to kind of redirect my ship anyway. And I look forward to hopefully maybe being that guy on the inside. So I'll just pray, and you guys can be dismissed. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for being able to test who I am on the inside, Lord. Sometimes it's easy to pretend that I've got everything together, Lord, on the outside. But you know what's going on the inside, Lord. And so I just pray that, you help me to redirect, that you help me to focus, that you help me to be a really the Hulk on the inside. I want to be strong. I want to be effective for you. And I pray that you can maybe take my walk and present it to others that maybe they want to some of this also, Lord. And I just thank you and praise you for each one of my brothers and sisters in this congregation, those who are here and those who aren't, Lord. I pray that you will just help them to think about you a little bit more this week. Let them be more intentional, maybe in their Bible studies, or maybe if they don't have a Bible study, maybe they're using the Right Now media, Lord, that they can do a Bible study, Lord. And I just thank you for all the tools that we have and all the just the blessing that you give us each and every day, Lord. And I just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.